Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Dear friends of this program, can you believe it? We are halfway through the year. Sorry to have to ask you this, but we are in desperate need of your financial help. If you enjoy this program and would be willing to support us with a generous donation, please send your donation to Crown of Life Baptist Church, P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. While supplies last, for a donation of $100 or more, we will send you one of the following books: The Rod, Will God Spare It? The Word, God Will Keep It? The Trail of Blood, Revisited? Or The Boy with No Name? The book, The Rod, Will God Spare It?, was written by Pastor Joey Faust, who is a personal friend of mine. This book is an exhaustive study of the temporary punishment for unfaithful Christians at the judgment seat of Christ and during the millennial kingdom. This book is thoroughly footnoted. Also, Pastor Joey wrote the book, The Word, God Will Keep It, which is also an extensive research of the 400-year history of the King James Bible-only movement. Remember, if your Bible omits the name of Lucifer from Isaiah chapter 14, you are using a Luciferian version of the Bible. Don't get offended. Just switch to the King James Bible and be edified in the true Word of God. Two other books that I have on hand are The Trail of Blood Revisited, written by my mentor, Dr. Greg Dixon, which is about Christ's true New Testament church, its past, present, and future. Also, The Boy with No Name is Dr. Dixon's autobiography. Again, for a donation of $100 or more, I will send you one of these books, or for a donation of $1,000 or more, I will send you all four books while supplies last. We hope you will consider donating monthly. We would love to hear from you. Tell us your personal story of how you were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and how this program ministers to your Christian walk. Enjoy listening to this morning's program as we continue with the message, Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, which draws a line between the church and the kingdom. They are both to be taught in this age of grace, and yet they are distinct one from the other. Their paths intersect to some extent, and I will reveal how and why. One of the major tenets of the Baptists that differs from the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches is that the New Testament church is a local, visible body of believers. The church is many, not singular. Meaning, just because you are saved and born again does not mean you are in the body of Christ. A born-again believer becomes a member of a local assembly through the repentance and scriptural baptism, which is by immersion only. Baptism is one of two ordinances of the New Testament church. It is not a sacrament. The believer's business is not to build the kingdom, but to build the undefiled church, which Scripture admonishes to be the chaste virgin, which is espoused to Christ, if it is not defiled. Jesus Christ will take out of the pure, undefiled New Testament church those who will make up the kingdom in the future when he returns. Eternal life on the new earth in a newly created heaven is based purely on faith alone. However, ruling and reigning with Christ in the millennial kingdom is based on faith and obedience to a host of commandments that Jesus and the apostles spell out for the believer. The Holy Spirit, through the book of Hebrews, commands us, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Much is implied in that single statement. Church attendance is paramount to the believers unless you are absolutely physically impaired, such as the very elderly and physically handicapped. Entrance into the millennial kingdom is a prize for faithfulness, righteousness, and holiness in one's walk with Christ. Again, send your donation to Crown of Life Baptist Church, P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. I look forward to hearing from you. This Sunday only, June 4th, we will be meeting in the conference room at the Hampton Inn and Suites in Fishers at 10 due to water damage at the Holiday Inn. Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, Part 4.
So Israel missed the cues that there would be two Advents. The kingdom reveal falls on the heels of the second Advent. The kingdom reveal falls on the heels of the second Advent. So try to get that and memorize that little expression. Okay? The kingdom reveal falls on the heels of the second Advent. They coincide. Thus, the close of the church era is the start of the kingdom age. The kingdom is future as long as there is a church in the world, apostate or not. Because the last apostate church is going to be destroyed when? At the end of the tribulation in Revelation 17 and 18. Is that correct? I've taught that multiple times about the great harlot church. And so the kingdom is future as long as there is a church in the world, apostate or not. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here. He was in Caesarea Philippi, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, he didn't mean those who were standing there while he was standing there, but there will be those who will be on the earth, in Israel, in the world, who will see the Lord coming back to set up his kingdom. When the next time we see the Lord face to face, he's coming to send up his kingdom. Paul also defines the apostolic vision of the kingdom, that it is still future. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood," okay, flesh and blood, that means the living, means the unchanged hearts, those who have, whose hearts are not changed, who are not converted, flesh and blood, it means the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and Geraldo Rivari and all that crowd, they're, as much as they want the kingdom, they ain't getting it. They're not inheriting it. They're not working for the kingdom of God. They're working to build their own kingdom. Okay? And so flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption, sinners, okay, wickedness, evil things in the world, inherit incorruption. The kingdom is going to be an incorrupt age. Satan will be bound. He will be bound for 1,000 years. The earth will be like the Garden of Eden, as we talked about that in the past. "Behold, I show you a mystery." Okay, there's a key word, a mystery. "We," talking of the saints, "shall not all sleep." Okay, die. When he says sleep there, it means die, to die in Christ. But that some will be raptured alive. They will be taken up out of the earth, like Enoch, like Elijah, taken up out of the earth alive in that period of time. And so, but we shall be all changed. So, I mean, that's going to be an instantaneous change. And we've talked about that also in the past, that glorification. When God calls the bodies from the graves and brings life back into them, brings the soul back into the body, and you and I are going up and we leave all our possessions behind, even the clothes and earrings and necklaces and shoes that we're wearing all behind, and we will ascend into the clouds in a glorified body. And this all occurs before the kingdom can be entered. So all those things, that's the building up of the judgment seat. That's what's going to take place at the judgment seat. And so the church, this is still future, and the church is still in the world. The kingdom's time and place are put beyond all doubt by the apocalyptic vision. Let me read that again. The kingdom's time and place are put beyond all doubt by the apocalyptic vision. That means the revelation. The book of Apocalypse is the book of Revelation. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord." Those are beautiful words. I mean, those are glorious words. When we hear those words, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. So Christ is the king. He is the king. He's taking over the earth and the earthly kingdoms. And the nations, we've talked about the judgment of the nations. And so the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. That whole globalist crowd and international bankers, and they're a bunch of atheists. They have no idea this is going to happen. They think it's just folklore. They look at the Bible as just a folklore. It's not real. They're not afraid. They're not concerned about God. They have their own agenda. They are the instrument of Satan, and they are building basically, really, Satan's kingdom, because he's over all these kingdoms of the world today, and that's his agenda. So the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, the Messiah. That's the Greek word for Messiah. And he shall reign forever and ever. Now, the kingdom, it speaks of the kingdom being 1,000 years, and it speaks of the kingdom being eternal. And we'll talk about that in more detail as we go on here. But there is the aspect of the 1,000 years here on the earth, and then eternally in the new heaven and the new earth. So the references to the eternal kingdom. If you have your Bibles, look up 2 Peter there. If you got your Bibles on you. Hopefully you bring them. If you don't, if you got your phone, you have a Bible app, you can go to your Bible app, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now let's just go back and read that a little further up in verse 9. "But he that lacketh these things is blind." What things is he talking about? Yeah, in the earlier verse, he's talking about virtue. He's talking about temperance, faith, patience, kindness, charity, those things. And he says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind." He's talking about you and I. Okay, we need to add to our faith various things. Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. So he's talking to believers. Knowledge, temperance, kindness and charity, sort of like the fruits of the Spirit. And cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Okay? So they're there. Carol, what I text you last night, right there. We got to add. That's walking in faith. That's adding to our faith. And so believers can be blind. And they don't see this coming of the Lord. They're lulled to sleep. They are short-sighted. They forget that their old sins have been purged, and they forget those things. Verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Okay? Whoa, listen to that. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence." Okay? Means, what does that mean? You got to put 2 feet to it, and you got to work at it. You got to go after it. You got to seek after it. It's something that you got to diligently look for, seek for. "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Okay? Not that you have to do things to make your eternal salvation sure, but your calling into the kingdom. Okay? "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Fall away. The Bible talks about falling away. we fall short. And so that is talking about not losing your eternal salvation, but the entrance into the kingdom by adding these other qualities to our faith. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is not going to lose any wars, right? When he comes back, he's not going to have not enough tanks, not enough armaments, not enough strategy to defeat the enemy. Okay? He's going to win hands down. And his kingdom will be here on earth visible and then eternally visible for on a new heaven, on a new earth, in a new heaven. Speaking of a new created heaven. Not the third heaven where the Heavenly Father is, but something that's newly created, which would be a totally different atmosphere than what we're familiar with today. And so those are important. That's future. That's a future time. But it's that's the entrance into the kingdom. In one aspect, however, the kingdom is now present. In the parables, the future kingdom is entered via faithfulness in the current churches. In literal passages, the literal future kingdom is spoken of. In figurative passages, the kingdom is mystical. The reason seems clear. Our Lord, when personally present, spoke of the kingdom as present also, for it was present in the person of the king. And Jesus knew their thoughts, the scriptures say here, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. What was Jesus talking about right here? Do you remember? They were calling Jesus Beelzebub, right? When he was healing people, and they're saying he's healing people by Satan. And he said, well, why would Satan cast out demons in the name of Satan? Why would he do that? Why would he divide himself? Why would he bring down his kingdom? No, kingdom is, the Lord is defeating Satan's kingdom by casting out demons out of those people. And so, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. It means Jesus is the king, the kingship, the kinghead, the head of this kingdom that is going to come. And he is the one that will establish the kingdom. But, you have to understand, 2,000 years ago, these Jews couldn't wrap their heads around it. I'm sure, could you imagine the talk in the upper room when Jesus ascended up to heaven and they're waiting 10 days for the Comforter, not knowing what to expect, what was coming in the world? Could you imagine their what was going through their mind about, if Jesus is going to set up his kingdom, where is he? Is he coming back to set up his kingdom? They didn't understand that this church age was going to be this long. They had no idea this church, that they were going to die and there was going to be generation after generation after generation of the church age. They had no idea. Nowhere is it seen in Scripture, this 2,000 year church time. The only possibility for the church time is if you look at man being on the face of the earth for 6,000 years, and it was 4,000 years up to the time Christ came the first time. Remember, there's God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And if you look at each day in a prophetical sense as 1,000 years, because you have a day with the Lord is that like 1,000 years is a day with the Lord, and so there's a picture, and you look at the seventh day the Lord rested, and you say the seventh millennium is the millennial rest. That's one way you could see that there's possibly 2,000-year span of time from the time of Christ's first advent to now. But I'm sure that wasn't preached very much in their churches and in their synagogues. And they didn't have that comprehension and understand those things. And they were just hoping the kingdom, Lord would set up his kingdom and come back and set up his kingdom. So the kingdom of God has come unto you. So in Christ. So what's interesting is when the king withdrew from the world, so did the kingdom. You see that in your notes? When the king withdrew from the world, so did the kingdom. But the Lord is mystically present with his church in a mystery. The mystery, he's present with his church. There is therefore a mystical kingdom. Look at the scripture in Colossians. Chapter 1. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now that word translated, that's an interesting word. In the New Testament, when Enoch went up to heaven, they used the word he was translated. Okay, when Elijah went up into fiery chariot, he was translated. But are you and I translated to the kingdom of God now? Are we in the kingdom of God? No, not yet. This is a spiritual application. This is a mystical application here. Has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.